Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Another soccer match just getting underway. Australia-France, this is the spot to come hang out, watch it. We're in Beaumont, Modelo Sports Cantina, also home of the 70-ounce beer tube. Ooh. So if you like cold beer, which we know I do, 70-ounce beer tube, this is your home for it. Let's go out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Howard, I'm going to throw this question out right now, and then I want you to answer it at the end of the segment because it's kind of on the spot. We didn't send you a text to prepare for it, but in our previous segment, we were talking about our favorite sports upsets of all time. Not the biggest upsets of all time, your favorite sports upsets of all time after Saudi Arabia beating Argentina earlier today in the World Cup, one of the biggest World Cup upsets of all time. But I wanted to ask you this first, Howard. Thanks for hanging out with us, too, by the way. San Francisco yesterday, convincing victory over a banged-up Arizona team. Jimmy Garoppolo, huge day. A lot of toys for Jimmy Garoppolo in that San Francisco 49ers offense as well. How serious are we taking the 49ers as a contender to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
I think they have to be taken seriously. And, you know, last year, this year is weirdly in some ways similar to last year, when the 49ers were 3-5 at one point and were being written off, and they'd had some injuries. Even Garoppolo was hurt a little bit, and all of a sudden they went on a run, won 7 of their last 9, got in as a wild card, and of course got to the NFC Championship game. So I think they have to be taken seriously. They had some injuries earlier. I mean, they lost to the Bears. They lost to the Falcons. They lost to the Broncos. That's 3 of their 4 losses. But now they've got a bunch of players back, and the offensive line obviously is playing well. As you mentioned, they added Christian McCaffrey, a lot of weapons. And this is a team that has won games when Jimmy Garoppolo has been a healthy quarterback for that team. And I was thinking this last night as everyone's anointing the 49ers now, and justifiably so, and, oh, what a great job John Lynch has done and a great job by this team and all those things. Where would they be right now had Jimmy Garoppolo not needed shoulder surgery in the offseason? He would have been traded. He was gone. They were moving on to Trey Lance, and who gets hurt in week 2. So who would have been their quarterback? I mean, it's hard to believe that they had no real plan for the backup to Trey Lance. But Jimmy Garoppolo was hanging around. No one was trading for him. And then they came to a contract deal, and boom, there he is, and Lance gets hurt, and we see what they're doing. It's pretty wild, but that's a good football team. And with that defense and the weapons on offense, as long as they don't have turnovers on offense, I mean, I don't think it would be an upset beating the Eagles, beating the Vikings, beating whoever that they'll come up against in the postseason.
Howard, on the flip side, AFC, everybody thought this was going to be the year after the game of the year, possibly or game of the century last year between the Chiefs and the Bills. It was supposed to be Buffalo's year. They were going to be the favorites to get there and win the AFC. Josh Allen was going to be the MVP. And now a little bit of turbulent waters for the Bills, and Kansas City just keeps rising back to the top. The way they won Sunday night, the way Patrick Mahomes did his Patrick Mahomes thing with the help of Travis Kelce and others, it looks like the Chiefs are not to be forgotten about in the AFC.
Absolutely not. No, you can't forget about them, no doubt. But I'm also going to say let's not write off the Bills because they've stumbled a little bit. I mean, they still have a 7-3 record, and we'll see what they do down the stretch. Obviously, now that, hey, they're in a race in their division, of course. You know, they're tied, you know, in record at least with Miami, and you know, the Jets in New England are one game behind, and so they'll be challenged, which I don't think many really truly expected in that division. But certainly would it surprise anyone, guys, if the Chiefs and Bills play each other again in the postseason? I would say it's probable that it'll happen somewhere along the line. You never know how things play out, obviously. But I still think that those two teams are probably the best in the AFC. And as long as teams stay healthy and all those things, they're, you know, either one of those are primed to make it again. And I wouldn't count out the Bills, though. Like I said, Chiefs are very good, no question. No question about it. They're not being challenged as much in the division as many thought it would be at the start of the season. But there's still some other really good teams in the AFC, too, that's going to make those playoff games in that conference pretty compelling football.
A couple of teams that are not the best in the AFC, the New York Jets, the Houston Texans, kind of going through the same thing right now with different situations. Zach Wilson, not very good against the Patriots. Robert Saleh saying, hey, look, uncommitted, basically, for Zach Wilson. A lot of people want Davis Mills benched for the Houston Texans, even though they're not going anywhere fast. How do you think both teams should handle those sophomore quarterbacks?
I'll be interested with the Jets because there were a lot of reports out of New York that it was bad enough that he didn't play well, but then afterward was kind of, in a sense, not taking responsibility, making excuses for himself, all these things. And that's not a good look when the quarterback does that. Even if many believe what he was saying was true, it's not a good look when you say those things. But who are they going to go to? They still have six wins. I mean, it's not as if they're where the Texans are right now. So do they go to Joe Flacco? Do they go to Mike White? I'm not sure what they'll do. But it's a pretty good defensive team, and there's a lot of quarterbacks. A lot of teams struggle against the New England defense. That's certainly nothing, you know, no breaking news there. So I'll be curious what they do. In terms of the Texans, I mean, what's the option, you know, at this point? Certainly the team around Davis Mills isn't that good. That's obviously the case. You could certainly make an argument that they need to get better at the position in the offseason and get someone better in there than him. But to do anything right now is not really going to prove anything, because if you're going to do that, hey, you might as well still see what Davis Mills can do coming down the stretch. But he's in a difficult situation playing on a team that obviously isn't very good.
Howard, you mentioned the fact that they're not going anywhere and looking at what they have to do to get better. You look at possibly drafting a franchise quarterback with what looks like to be the number one overall pick, whoever they want to go with. How important is it when what we've seen of all Sam Darnold and all the different quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, that have gone through multiple coordinators and multiple head coaches early on, and it seems to have ruined their career? If they do take a franchise quarterback, Pep Hamilton looks like maybe he's not that guy at offensive coordinator. Most people think you can't get rid of Lovie Smith for the second straight season, a one-and-done coach. Can you see the Texans changing offensive coordinators at the end of the season?
I can only see it, but I sometimes wonder if that's truly a good move. I don't know. Can Pep Hamilton truly be judged with the players he has? And, I mean, I actually heard, I don't know if I brought this up last week, I know I did on some interviews, where I heard Dan Orlovsky on ESPN, related to the Rams, was calling for someone else to call plays on the Rams instead of Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, seriously? You're really serious about that? I mean, when you have the offensive line issues that the Rams have and the quarter receiver and all those things, it's very difficult to judge an offensive coordinator when they don't have much to work with. And I hear people saying, oh, you got to be creative. You got to do this. You got to do that. This isn't high school football. This is the NFL. I mean, what does creative mean? Oh, you got to throw it down the field. Throw it down the field to who? And those are the things, all those pieces are what you have to have on your team to be successful. And so I don't know if you can truly judge, you know, truly judge him. And, you know, everyone goes hot and cold so quickly. That's the way the NFL is covered. What happens one week, then the next week is different, and all of a sudden, oh, fire this guy, you got to make a change here. Well, we've seen a lot of coordinators do well, and then all of a sudden they struggle. Is all of a sudden Byron Leftwich not doing the job in Tampa because the Buccaneers' offense isn't as good as it's been? Well, no, the players aren't as good. And that is usually what determines what happens on teams. And so, again, I'm not saying that Pep Hamilton's the greatest, but I don't know how you can truly judge him with the talent he's given to coordinate an offense and call plays.
Howard, I think people are getting tired of me saying this, but I kind of have that same opinion. I don't think Pep Hamilton's a great OC. I think he's bottom third of the NFL based on previous results more than current results, quite honestly. I think Lovie Smith at this stage, bottom third of the NFL as a head coach. But I also feel like they're playing chess with a bunch of pawns. Like, they really don't have a chance with the roster that they have. That said, Texans have the number one pick currently. They don't screw it up. They can keep that number one pick. Maybe they go franchise quarterback. If you do go that route within the organization, can you afford to keep a defensive-minded head coach and an OC that doesn't have the greatest resume as a play caller in NFL, like during his NFL history?
Well, if you make a change, and I'm not saying that's out of the question, I'm saying, sure. Well, do you know who you're going to get that's going to be absolutely better than Pep Hamilton? That's the question. And if you draft a quarterback high, you still have to put the team around him to give him a chance to succeed. And that's the bottom line. I mean, I shouldn't say I'm amazed, because it happens all the time when offenses struggle and the knives come out from whether it's media, whether it's fans, on social media, whatever it is, fire the GM, fire the coach, fire the offensive coordinator, all those things. And it's like no one will look at the players. I mean, players executing is what it comes down to. All you have to do is look at the teams that are winning, and you can see the type of difference-making talent that those teams have. And plus, you know, and where it all starts on the offensive line as well. I mean, the biggest thing the Rams did when Sean McVay got there is they upgraded the offensive line. And that was an incredible offensive line for several years. And the result showed on the field with other supporting people, obviously. Heck, they got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff because they had a lot of really good players on that team. This year, their offensive line has been absolutely ravaged, to use a Troy Aikman term from last night talking about the Cardinals. And you can't do anything on offense when you're playing a different offensive line every game. And so that's where it all begins, and you better have all those pieces no matter who the quarterback is on your team. And we'll go back to the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know that anybody's going to put him in an elite tier of quarterbacks in the NFL, but when they have all those pieces around him, he's capable of helping that team play winning football. And so the coordinator, boy, when you have all those different things you can do, run the ball, pass the ball, throw it to this guy, run it with that guy, all of a sudden that makes the job of an offensive coordinator a lot easier going against a lot of the quick, fast defenses that there are in the National Football League.
Howard, we have like 20 seconds. Brendan's going to take away my turkey dinner on Thursday if we don't get out of here pretty quick, but I got to follow up on that question. What's your favorite sports upset in history?
Wow. Yeah, see, now you asked me that early, but of course I didn't have time to think about it because we're talking. And, favorite. Oh, man. I was trying to think
of it. Miracle on Ice for you. How's that? Does that work?
How can that not work? That has to be, you know, one of the top ones. No absolute question about that. It was just so, not only a favorite, but just so unexpected in terms of what that team did.
Howard, thanks so much as always. Enjoy your Thanksgiving supper.
Same to you guys. Take care.
Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Hunter Brown, what's the likelihood that he can be a rookie of the year for the Houston Astros? And is his future, especially next year, dictated by a certain somebody? It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Modillo Sports Cantina. Come by and tell your bartender server to make it a Coors or Miller's Light. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Indeed, we are Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont, home of the 70-ounce beer tube. And whenever you get that 70-ounce beer tube, how about you make it a Coors or a Miller Lite? Come hang out with us. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Australia, France, the final game of the World Cup today. Wall-to-wall TVs here. Great spot to watch a little football. Australia with the early lead over France in the 19th minute. Little interesting there. Maybe a day of upsets in the World Cup. Can't make it out today. They're here all week. Come hang out at the Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. So Major League Baseball Blankers had a they're trying to find content, right? It's the offseason. Free agency's been kind of quiet a little bit, which, you know, maybe it's the quiet before the storm. Aaron Judge is meeting with San Francisco apparently today. Who knows what Justin Verlander is doing. But anyways, MajorLeagueBaseball.com, they put up a story, and the most likely person on each each team's organization to win the Rookie of the Year. Last year, that guy was probably Jeremy Pena, even though Jeremy Pena wasn't really decorated from day one. This year, they list Hunter Brown as the Astro most likely to win the Rookie of the Year. I don't really think that there's much conversation that who should be the most likely, because I think it is Hunter Brown. Mm-hmm. Pedro Leon, I don't think he's your opening day center fielder. I don't think that's going to happen. Some of the other rookies, you're looking at catchers, right? Jiner Diaz, Corey Lee. Who knows if they're even on the opening day roster. I think Hunter Brown is the only one that could really be considered a threat to win the American League Rookie of the Year. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I completely agree with you on that.
But knowing Justin Verlander is a free agent, I think that the likelihood of Hunter Brown winning the Rookie of the Year comes down to Justin Verlander. Like, if Justin Verlander is back, now you're looking at 7 starting pitchers as opposed to 6 starting pitchers. Even if it doesn't mean that Hunter Brown's out of the rotation, he's probably not starting every 5th day. You're looking at probably you're trying to limit how many innings he's throwing. Maybe you're part of a 6-man rotation. And, of course, if you're trying to win an award, you're looking at volume, right? You got to win games. You got to get strikeouts. You got to do all these things. Christian Javier is an example of that. Javier's average is better than anybody in the American League just about, but didn't have the volume. I think Hunter Brown's chances of winning the Rookie of the Year are dictated by Justin Verlander.
I think you're right, but I think that the other thing that we can't sleep on is, you know, obviously it's taking some time, and Verlander, I guess, is talking to the Mets in the next day or two, if he hasn't already. But, you know, like you said, and I firmly believe that, Crane is saying go out and get your best offer, and we're still going to talk. But if Verlander does come back, then it gives It gives Jim Crane or whoever the general manager and Farkas and everybody else the opportunity to say, well, now with 7 starters, in order to avoid what you're talking about too and give Hunter Brown a real chance to be in the 6th man, maybe then for what you don't get in the free agency market, it does open up still room for a trade or two. Because I think that Hunter Brown's time is probably now. I mean, he's shown enough to realize that for you to realize he belongs on the major league roster, and he deserves to get a chance to prove, you know, just how good he can be. With the surplus of starting pitching you have, if Verlander comes back and that limits you from getting one of those bats, and we know that they were willing to give up Urquidy at the deadline for, Wilson Contreras.
Well, who was willing?
Well, it was a conversation between ownership and general manager. They were at least discussing it, okay? Let's put it that way. To where if
Crane,
you know,
fixed it.
But if you have a surplus of starting pitching and Verlander's back, and you know that's going to kind of tie your hands in terms of how much money you could spend on getting bats, maybe then you take one of your starters and use that as capital to go get a bat another way and make a trade before the season starts.
I think that's likely, right? Because you have 7 starters. Like, if you were to bring Verlander back, mm-hmm. I think the most likely thing is Verlander's not back.
Yep.
But if we're operating with the idea, okay, Verlander's back, what does that do for the rest of the rotation? The Astros aren't really worried about individual awards. Does that kind of hurt the chances of Hunter Brown winning Rookie of the Year? I think that it does, mm-hmm. even if they do trade somebody else. Now, if you have that conversation, like, okay, let's operate with the idea of Verlander's back, that Jim Crane's allowing Verlander, like he did last offseason, to test the market, go find the offers that everybody's willing to give you, and then report back home to your good golfing buddy, your good friend, you know, what the best offer is, and we'll let you know if we want to match it or not. I think that's how it's going to play out. I think it's how it played out last year. I think it's how it's going to play out this year. I don't know if Crane's going to accept it or not. It depends on the figure, because I could see it going either way. I think Crane loves Justin Verlander, and it looks like Jim Crane's trying everything he can to bring everybody back. But if you have that conversation, now you have 7 starters, which one is that starting pitcher that you're willing to trade? Because Jose Urquidy obviously was the name that came up at the deadline. Jim Crane and Dusty Baker told James Click, no, we don't want to trade Jose Urquidy. Right now they said he was the best pitcher at the time, which he went through a run there in the summer where he was really good. I don't think you want to trade Hunter Brown, even though he would give you back more than what Jose Urquidy would get you back. Who would be that name? If you had to move one starter, assuming Justin Verlander is back, who would that dude be?
I think to me it would be Urquidy or Garcia. I think because of the fact that if you have JV back, now you've got 3 bona fide ace types at the start of your rotation. That's not even throwing McCullers, who you assume is going to be healthy for the whole year this year, and bring him back as your 4. I mean, that's as solid a rotation as there is in the entire league, and maybe has been for a while. And then Hunter Brown could be your 5th, or whoever, you could be 5th and 6th. But I think those are the 2 guys, because I'm definitely not willing to trade out on Hunter Brown just yet, because I believe we don't know how good he could be. He could be another ace possibility with how fast his and effective his slider is and how plus his fastball is. So I think it'd be one of those two guys. And I think that the other thing, you know, to your point about how Crane and Dusty were the ones that said, I'm not willing to trade Urquidy. But at that point, it was a rental because you're going to have to, Contreras is a free agent, and you would have to either see him go or you're going to have to pay him. The trade that you would make now for one of these guys, if it is an Urquidy or even a Garcia, would have to be a guy that's under team control that you can trade and know is going to be on your roster at this and have him for a couple years.
Which is everybody. I mean, everybody. That's where the Astros are, the embarrassment of riches that they have in their pitching staff. With the exception of Verlander, they're all under club control for the foreseeable future.
No, I'm saying whoever they acquire, too. I'm like, you don't just go get a rental. Like, if you're going to give up a guy that's of that talent, that ilk, then you're going to need a guy that's going to be under your control and that you're going to have on your roster for a couple of years. That's a solid bat, in my opinion.
Would you have traded Urquidy for Teoscar Hernandez?
Teoscar Hernandez, I know he was an all-star, but Teoscar Hernandez to me is not enough to me.
Ooh, okay, that's fair. I mean, the 1 year that he has left, he would be that rental type.
Right.
Like, that's why I asked it. Like, the fact that he only has the year left is probably why I lean no. Now, I like Teoscar as a player. If he had more than a year left, I would say a hard yes on that.
Yeah,
actually.
Then it would be a different story.
Right, it would be a different story. I think it was Jim Bowden of The Athletic that had, like, his mailbag thing. And one of the questions he received, he only received one question about the Astros, and it was, if we sign Verlander, would you entertain the idea of trading a starter? And he actually said no. He said he would be greedy with the pitching, keep the pitching. You can never have enough pitching, which it's tough to say that without knowing the names that you can get back for the pitchers. But I don't hate that idea. I love the idea of just having an embarrassment of riches of pitching. You can find roles for those guys, even if Jose Urquidy's like your long reliever. He's a long reliever, but he's also your emergency guy back into a six-man rotation. I like the idea of that. Now, if you're forcing me to pick one starter that you have to trade, we know how I feel about Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm. I love the dude. He's one of my favorite players on the Astros. He's also probably your fifth best starter, maybe even sixth best starter if you're bringing back Verlander. The only one he'd be better than would be Jose Urquidy. But why I'm trading Garcia instead of Urquidy, even though I think Garcia is better than Urquidy, he's also your number six starter, and mm-hmm. I think you can get more. I think you can get more than you could for Jose Urquidy.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's where I would be. My biggest answer to that is you can get more for Garcia because Urquidy's had arm problems. Urquidy's had surgery. Urquidy's had things that on the medicals are going to throw up red flags in terms of what teams are willing to give back for a pitcher that's already had some kind of medical issues, as opposed to a young Garcia who you know is could be a horse and could be the top of your rotation type guy, that they'd be more willing to take a trade and go, hey, I got one of my top prospects or one of my top major league outfielders right now that I'm willing to give up because I don't think the rest of our team's there yet. But if I get a pitcher like this, when my team does get better, I need a guy like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much a team like that would be willing to trade for Jose Urquidy. I think they would give a little bit more for Luis Garcia. Who would be that odd man out for you, or are you just keeping them all? 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It does appear that the Astros are keeping the band together. That's a good thing. I'll tell you what I mean and why. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. It starts with the man on top, Dr. O himself. Dr. O, he cares about his patients. He wants to get results because he knows if he does, you're going to tell your friends, you're going to tell your relatives, you're going to say, hey, this is where I went when I didn't have enough energy in my life, or I was trying to start a workout program and didn't know the best way to chart my progress. I went to Apollo Men's Health, and they got me results. For both men and women, it starts with hormone therapy and the fact that you can get more energy in your life on a daily basis. You're not trying to win a gold medal. You're trying to win the day, and in order to win the day, you need more energy. There's multiple ways that you can administer or get administered your hormone therapy. You can do it yourself at home. You can go into the clinic every week. There's lots of opportunities, but guaranteed you're going to have more energy on a daily basis. Simplify that and say you want to try a B12 shot first every week and see if that works. That's what I do. I feel like I get more energy out of a B12 shot on Fridays. That's why I get that at Apollo Men's Health. Workout program, like I said, start with a full body composition analysis so you can chart your progress and get your results in terms of your body fat going down, your muscle mass going up, and all the important numbers. Recovering quicker after workouts, HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies, they got that too. Check them out. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. Go to ApolloMH.com. Check out the website. See if there's services that interest you. If there are, book an appointment. When you do, you'll find out most insurance is accepted. And there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. Then let the process go from there. You ask the questions. You tell them what you're trying to achieve. They'll get you on a program. They'll get you the results you're after. That's the way they do business. They're good people doing great things. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Great place to watch some soccer. France, last update we gave, they scored a couple of goals since then. They now lead. They turned the game upside down. This is a great spot to watch all your soccer. Great spot to hang out. Great spot to have a drink. Great spot to have a mango margarita and some loaded fries. Great spot to have a Miller Lite and a Coors Light as well. Come by, tell your bartender server to make it a Coors Light or a Miller Lite. Also want to give away a couple tickets. I'm in a charitable mood. Maybe it's the mango margarita. I don't know. But University of Houston taking on Tulsa this weekend. We celebrate senior night. We're going to give away a pair of tickets, two pairs of tickets, to go watch Houston-Tulsa on senior night this Saturday. So caller number 3 and caller number 5 at 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game on Saturday, November 26th, 6:30 p.m. You can also purchase the family four-pack. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, four regular sodas, all for less than $100. You get all that for $96. Go to uhcougars.com/promo. Enter promo code TULSA4PACK or just call 713-GO-COUGS. Say that Branham guy said I could take advantage of a family four-pack, and they'll get you hooked up. 713-GO-COUGS or uhcougars.com/promo. Enter code TULSA4PACK. Very busy day over on Cullen on Saturday. Football at 6:30, basketball for the number 2 team in the country. 130 against Kent State. 713-780-ESPN. If you had to give one of your starters, you had to trade one of them, maybe you bring Verlander back, you're trying to trade a starter for a bat, you strike out free agency, whatever. You have to trade a starter for some offense. Who would be the starter you would move on from? 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. 7816, and this is a good point, Blankers. This is where the Astros pitching staff is at. Because, like, the bottom half of their rotation would be the top half of a lot of teams' rotations. Mm-hmm. He says Garcia could be a lot of teams' number 2 starter, and he's right.
No, that's right. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I think you and I are both on the same page. Look, you could get something for Urquidy, but you could get a lot more for Garcia because the ceiling is so high. Because as good as you've seen him be, you also know that, you know, we've seen the story highlighted again and again that in organized baseball, he had never pitched that many innings. He had never been above double A, and then all of a sudden he was in the major leagues. And he was excelling. And, yes, he's had some hiccups, but for the most part, he has been a strong, strong starting pitcher that has proven to the rest of the league that he's got really good stuff that teams are going to desire. And so, therefore, they're going to be willing to give up a lot more because you know with the team control and you know with his age and the limited wear and tear on his arm that he's going to be a guy that a lot of teams believe could be their one or two.
Yeah, I love Luis Garcia, but if he had to trade one, I agree that Garcia is better than Urquidy, but I don't think he's better than Hunter Brown's going to be. You're not going to trade Lance because of the contract. Certainly not Christian Javier. He's going to be my I'm going to play Christian Javier ticket AL Cy Young next year. Not better than Fromber. You're spending $40 million on Justin Verlander. Luis Garcia would be that guy for me. 713-780-3776, 0830, trade Garcia. He's got more value than Urquidy. Also, what value does Corey Jolks have? Any future with the Astros with him are better used as a trade piece. Love Corey Jolks. Corey Jolks, one of the most clutch Houston Cougar baseball players in recent memory. Go Cougs. He's not thought of as a huge, highly touted top prospect. I think the Astros are probably better served to just keep him and see if he can turn into a big leaguer. Because he's kind of older, too, for a Triple-A guy. Not one of the top prospects. I much rather keep him, and that's not only because of my Cougar bias. I don't think other teams really covet Corey Jolks as much as I think that he's worth.
Yeah, and I think that at some point, too, you do, as much as you're not concerned about your farm system as much because your major league team is so good and you're able to go get players through trades and free agency at this point in how solid your roster is, at a certain point, you know, you still – look, every year for the last couple of years, you found those guys that have been not on the radar of the people that rate farm systems and the top prospects in Major League Baseball that turned out to be guys that get you something good in return. And you know, and Corey Jolks could be a guy that, you know, continues to flourish in AAA, and you suddenly realize, hey, he wasn't on our radar, but now this is a dude that either he helps you or he could help you in another way by being a part of a trade that can get you something else. Wasn't it Brian Dela Cruz a couple years ago with Sugar Land that, you know, they didn't have on their radar, and he got traded in the Yimi Garcia trade to get you a guy you had to have at the deadline.
People were a little worried, too, after they traded him, kind of like how people were a little worried after the Astros released Lewis Brinson and then he turned into being Lewis Brinson again.
Yeah.
Remember, De La Cruz actually had a pretty good start to his career in Miami, and then this year he was a disaster. Like, he was
and
not
the Brinson thing was funny because his first two games with the Giants, I think he homered. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, what did the Astros do? Yeah, and he was a center fielder. And like, what did they do? And then all of a sudden, he just came tumbling back down like a lead balloon. And you're like, oh, that's what they did. So
Brinson. He remembered he was Lewis Brinson.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds more like a Formula One race driver than it does the guy that plays center field in the major leagues. But I look at what the Astros have done, and one thing I will not question is their ability to evaluate talent. Obviously, the big one was being able to come up with a formula that said Jeremy Peña was ready to be your everyday shortstop and you could let Carlos Correa get away and you were going to be okay. But they found the Jake Meyers. They found the guys, you know, around their system that have been able to be contributors. And like I said, whether they contribute to this team or contribute another way by being a part of a trade that entices another team, I think that their AAA team has been pretty good and it will continue to show that they can evaluate talent really well. But if it's all about the Major League roster right now, you got to do whatever you got to do, and the money is going to be the biggest challenge they have. I don't think that they have gaping holes. We know where they need the bats. We know where they need the help. Verlander could really kind of handcuff them a bit if he goes big money and Crane decides to pay it, to where you're going to probably have to consider a trade if you can't just go out and spend to get the things that you need.
Here's one thing that I do like what we're seeing with the Houston Astros, and I know that they haven't made a big free agent splash outside of Rafael Montero. The market right now is kind of, I think, waiting on Judge, maybe probably waiting on Verlander too a little bit. The Astros have kept their coaching staff together, and for the most part, they are keeping intact what was a World Series champion. This is where, like, the Montero overpay doesn't mind me much, it doesn't bother me a whole lot. It's because the Astros won a World Series title last year, and I think one of the worst things that you can do after winning a World Series title is to start to break things up a little bit. If it means you overpay Montero $3 million because you want to keep it all together, cool with that. Now, you can also bring up Yuli in this conversation, Verlander in this conversation, maybe even Brantley to an extent. But the Astros have shown this offseason that they're keeping everything intact for the most part. They're keeping the band together. Alex Cintron, hitting coach, back. The assistant hitting coach, Snitker, he's back. They're bringing back Joshua Miller, the pitching coach. Hopefully they bring back Murphy as well. Miller's the guy that makes the mound visits, though. I think he's the more important of the M&M brothers. You're looking with the Astros right now with owner Jim Crane, where he has the mindset of, I'm going to keep the band together. We want a World Series. I might overpay for Montero, but he won't need a World Series. Maybe he overpays for Verlander for what we think they should pay for Verlander. But I'm keeping together a World Series team, and I love the fact that you're keeping together the coaching staff under Dusty Baker as well.
I love it, too, because you mentioned a guy that you mentioned the guys you mentioned. Look at Joe Espada, who was at the top of the list interviewing for a managerial job again at multiple locations during the playoffs, and a lot of fans were worried about, you know, where's Joe going to go? There's no way he's going to stay if Dusty's coming back. Well, he stayed, and everybody falls into line after that. And it's like we were talking about in football, the Sam Darnolds and the Baker Mayfields. And when you have a constant change within the coaching staff, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, in this case, hitting coaches, pitching coaches, bench coaches, it can change the way a player goes about his business, the routine, the comfortability factor. You don't have to worry about any of that. These guys are going in knowing I'm going to get the same support, the same video help, the same kind of tutelage that I've been getting, that I felt comfortable with, that allowed us to win and win big. And that's a great thing if you're a player to know I don't have to get used to a new hitting coach that might be using techniques and telling me to do things that I don't feel comfortable doing or that I've never done before. This is just all about making sure that, you know what, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the fact that you were able to keep, I think, still a big piece, too, is Espada. When he didn't get those two jobs, I kind of quietly celebrated a little bit, going, now if Dusty just doesn't want, if he just does this for one more year, you still got a manager in waiting. And, of course, if he does get a job somewhere else after this year and leaves, you still have plenty of people that want the job, but it's nice to know you could have a guy within the system that could step right up and take over if Dusty does choose to walk away.
Yeah, selfishly, I love that Joe Espada has not been able to get a job elsewhere. I hate that for Espada, but I don't mind it from my point of view. 4683, can I sign and trade Justin Verlander instead?
No.
No, you can't do that. No, absolutely not. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Lovie Smith didn't vouch for Davis Mills yesterday. For all those people out there that want to see Davis Mills benched, I want you to tell us why. I don't get it. Explain it to me like I'm 2 years old. Why do you want to see Davis Mills benched? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I am begging you, Hive, to tell me why you want Davis Mills benched. I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't get the rationale. I don't get the reasoning. I've heard folks at Highway to Hell tweeting out about, oh, yeah, bench Mills. Why? Tell me why. Yeah, I don't get it. Brian T. Smith, like I do like the questioning of Brian T. Smith, and Brian T. Smith's trying to put together a column, trying to put together a piece. So I appreciate the question from Brian T. Smith. This is not a Brian T. Smith, you know, downplay, even though Stephen A. Smith was dragging him on First Take, saying, oh, would you have done this with Bill O'Brien? As a matter of fact, he would,
yep.
And he did. Yeah. He did. So don't drag Brian
don't
T. Smith.
Don't make
like, I've never,
this into
I've,
a race issue.
Right.
This is just a
right.
Come on, man.
I haven't always seen eye to eye with Brian T. Smith with some of the stories that he's written.
I agree.
I've met him on a couple occasions. A gentleman. I like him personally. I think he does a really good job, even when I don't agree with him. Stephen A. Smith dragging Brian T. was silly. I'm not even sure Brian T. Smith is saying to bench Davis Mills, but I want people to tell me, why would you bench Davis Mills? 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, exactly.
Why Brian T. Smith going at it? Why? If it was a black coach, he gonna come at him. If it was Bill O'Brien, would he? Why? No.
I mean, yeah. Stephen A., just turn the page, man. I mean, it's every single opportunity he wants to turn it into a race issue. Some things it's just about what a good sport. We talk about in this town, we don't have enough good, hard-hitting media people that are willing to ask the tough question. And I always go back to the fact that love him or hate him or have an independent opinion of Barry Warner, Barry Warner at a press conference wasn't letting you off the hook. And Barry Warner was not going to be intimidated if you came at him. And Bill O'Brien found that out as well as others. And he was going to try and press you on what the most pressing issues from someone watching the game and watching the team on a week-by-week basis sees that they wanted answers to. And you couldn't just get away with it by being temperamental. And I appreciate the fact that Brian T. Smith didn't back down and tried to get an honest answer to a question that a lot of people were inquiring about. No one was saying it had to be done, but wanted to know if it was on the radar, if it had been considered, if you know, do you see what I see? And I think that from your and my perspective and looking at this, we said all along, unless Davis Mills gets hurt, this is his show for the entire season. To get a complete report that you can figure out who he is and what he can be and what you think you have over a 17-game span. There's no need to bench him now because there's no way to go but down for the rest of the season so that you can hopefully go substantially up after the draft. So ride it out, see if there's any chance that like last year when he gets later in the season, he actually can improve a little bit, but I doubt it.
Yeah, so please tell me. Tell me why you want Davis Mills benched. I beg you, Hive, give me a reason why you want to see it. Because I'm seeing it out there. Like, people are supporting the idea. Why? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
Do you think Kyle Allen is your potential quarterback of the future? You want to see Kyle Allen because you think, like, in his third or fourth or fifth go-round in the NFL, it's like his college career is mirrored by his NFL career. See how many teams I can play for that believe that I might turn into something. You think he might in this? You bench Davis Mills for a guy that might find it and decide, hey, this could be your guy? Because it's not. That's not realistic.
don't talk down about Kyle Allen.
Yeah,
Kyle
I know. Coops. He's a Kugag.
Quarterbacks in the NFL. But I want to see the hive things. I want somebody to tell me that they should bench Davis Mills and give me a good reason. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Joe, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, man. What's up, Killer Bees? I just wanted to say, man, actually, I do not want to see Davis Mills bench. But I'm going to tell you the people who do want to see Davis Mills bench. The same people 2 months ago when you guys were saying, hey, man, Davis Mills is not the guy. And everybody kept calling in, give him a chance, this, that, and the other. I guess it took him throwing a pick six on the first Texans drive Sunday for people to see what this guy really is. And you guys been calling it. You guys called it before the season even started about Davis. He's not the quarterback to lead the Texans.
Appreciate the call, Joe. We agree. I mean, we've been saying that, I think, even since last year. But mm-hmm. we didn't want Davis Mills to be benched or anything like that. It wasn't a quarterback draft. I have no problem with the Texans going into the year with Davis Mills. It was just very clear and apparent that Davis Mills was not the long-term answer for the Houston Texans. That's not to say that he shouldn't have been the starter in 2022. But he should remain the starter in 2022. King of Twitch is on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He says it's a last place team, all capital letters. Who gives a bad word? I really like if they did bench Mills for Kyle Allen, I wouldn't agree with the decision. I really wouldn't care, and I'd actually be kind of entertained to see what Kyle Allen looked like with the Houston Texans. That said, I don't understand the motive. I don't understand, like, what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, what,
there's
what,
nothing that you're succeeding doing.
Is the upside the downside? Because the upside is he wins a couple of games, and then all of a sudden you're in a dogfight with the Raiders and a couple of other bad teams to try and hang on to secure the number one overall pick. Whereas right now you're in the driver's seat. And you just keep driving off the road the way you've been driving it every Sunday, you're going to be just fine. But all of a sudden, what do you want to see? Kyle Allen come in and win two games down the stretch, and now all of a sudden you might be in jeopardy of losing the number one overall pick, and that's a win? Come on, man. Stop looking at these little small-term victories, these short-term victories, and losing sight of the big picture.
713-780-ESPN. Please explain to me why you want Davis Mills benched. 713-780-3776. And we're not Mills guys. We think Mills sucks, but there's no reason to bench him. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Eric, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how's it going, my guys? Hey, the reason why I would think that people want Davis Mills benched, especially me, is because there are actually still fans out here that like to see people, that like to see our team win. Like, it's not cool to have a 1-16 whatever record. That's not cool. We want to see the people win. We like to have
Eric,
something to cheer about.
I hear you.
Yes,
Eric,
sir.
who do you want the Texans to draft in 2023? The draft coming up April 27th. Who's your top target?
Well, I mean, I think about that guy, Lovis. You know, I like him.
Okay.
Somebody on the defensive line.
Let me ask you this. Whoever's your top target, whether it's Levis, whether it's Jalen Carter, whether it's Will Anderson, whether it's Bryce Young, would you rather have one more win or two more wins instead of your favorite target?
I would rather have some wins, sir. And I'd
like
to ask you
one
question. Just please,
sure.
Just one question.
Yeah, you got it.
If you play for the Texans, let's just say you play for the Texans, would you want to sacrifice your body every Sunday to lose every Sunday so you can get another pick? I don't think people on the Texans are, like, tanking. They're not trying to do that. They're actually trying to win. People on
the team
that work for the team are trying to win.
First of all, Eric, Jeremy's only going to sacrifice his foot because he'd be a kicker.
No. I think Eric just gave us the reason why you should bench Davis Mills. Because I could produce more than Davis Mills at the quarterback position. I think I could bring more to the deep steel blue, the battle red, the white, whatever, Liberty White. I could bring more. He just gave us the reason why Davis Mills should be benched. I should be the star. Branham, for quarterback, for the Houston Texans, who says no?
I don't believe in Jeremy as the quarterback either, Joel. But hold on. There's one thing he's got to be better at. Getting the ball out to the numbers. He has to be better at that. I've never watched an NFL quarterback who struggles so much.
How often have you seen Branham throw?
Never.
Okay, well then.
I got a cannon. That was great. Flag football intramurals at Sam Houston State for a semester.
There have to be varsity quarterbacks in Texas who are better at getting the ball out to the numbers.
Oh, for sure.
The answer to the question, though, is these guys are still getting a paycheck. And that's what is they understand what they signed up for. They understood that when they were going to go to battle with this team this year that they weren't going to be very good. They knew looking around at practice every day and looking at the roster, whether they listened and read and followed the media at all, that this wasn't going to be one of the favored teams to make the playoffs or do very well in the NFL. But they're getting a paycheck, and that's why they're putting their sacrifice in their body, because their game tape is their resume, and their resume is changing on a daily basis. If they show out while they're playing for the Houston Texans, whether they win or they lose, it could be the difference between having a job next year and selling insurance. So the fact is, that's I get it, it's a top priority, but again, that's the misconception where I've talked to so many NFL players that know that everybody believes it's all about wins and losses, from ownership to the players. Yeah, they want to win, but they want to have a career in the NFL, and they want it to be long-term. And some guys, like a lot of the guys the Texans have ran through that locker room in the last 2 years, are on the downside of their careers. This is an opportunity to build your resume to get another year under another year of service in the NFL and make some more money.
I do want to defend Eric a little bit with that call, because I know that I had fun with it. But at the same time, I do agree with his premise. Like, the 53 dudes in that locker room, they want to win.
Sure.
The coaching staff wants to win. Every single coach is coaching for their job. Every single player is playing for their job. So, like, I agree with Eric. I know that I was having some fun with it. But, Eric, that is a good point. But that's from, like, within the walls of the training facility on Kirby. They're trying to win. They're just not good enough to win. The big picture view from the city looking into the organization's like, okay, we understand that the Texans aren't very good. We understand that they have the number one pick. I think most of the city, and Eric, I think that you're probably in a very, you know, small pocket of people that currently feel this way. And I think it's become smaller and smaller as the season went on. At the start of the season, we were in the minority. Start of the season, everybody's like, why would you want to lose games? That's such a stupid thing to say. Bad Take Boulevard, why would you want to lose games? Because we were realistic with where the roster was. Realistic where the roster was for where they're not going to win a ton of football games and will not be playing competitive football in December. And in fact, they haven't played competitive football in November.
Also realistic in our talent evaluation. We were evaluating the talent we saw in a quarterback that we knew wasn't the guy. He could be a guy at best case scenario, but he wasn't going to be the guy. So we got a lot of heat and took a lot of bullets because of the fact that we embraced the suck and told you what you found out now a long time after the fact. And it took a lot of painful hits for you guys to come to your senses and realize it wasn't because we wanted to crap on the Texans and we wanted them to lose. We just saw what we saw, knew what we knew, and know also for the long term, this was part of the plan to get better for the long haul by making sure you take some short-term losses.
To Eric's point, though, like I do understand and appreciate in the locker room they're trying to win. And like I get that. Me personally, big picture, as a Houston Texan fan, that somebody that wants the Texans to win long term, I'm willing to sacrifice 2-3 games for the betterment of the organization. And quite honestly, maybe I'm a jerk. I don't care how Davis Mills feels after a loss. I don't care how Christian Kirksey feels after a loss. I don't care. Like, I want the best interest of the Texans long term, not how those 53 guys are feeling after playing a game on Sunday where they're being paid handsomely to do so, by the way. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Please let me know, why do you want to see Davis Mills benched? I'm seeing a lot of people say this. Tell me why. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.